Hello everyone, this is Incredible Fencing Podcast. For more information, you can visit my website or subscribe to my YouTube channel or Instagram page. Hey everyone, this is Incredible Fencing Podcast and my name is Taras. The topic of today's episode: foil, epi and saber. Which kind of weapon you should choose if you started doing fencing, or if you are going to start to do fencing in nearest future? What's the difference of these three weapons, and what is the similarities of these three weapons, and why you should choose one of particular weapons, or can you do few weapons or couple weapons at the same time? Or maybe you can choose one weapon and then you can try another one. For all these questions, I'll try to answer in this episode. It's gonna be episode number 4. We already had 3 episodes in the past. One episode, by the way, I haven't uploaded yet. It was episode number 2. For some specific reasons, but I'm not gonna tell you now, so hopefully I'm gonna upload it. So episode number 2 is gonna come out a little bit later even than episode 3 or 4, so don't worry, it's not a mistake, it's supposed to be like this. So let's get started. So in this episode, basically I was trying to break down the most common questions about three weapons, about foil, epi and saber. And I know some people, especially beginners and some spectators, some parents, they basically don't know too much about fencing because there is not much information, maybe in internet, in social media or on TV. So they don't know like what they should choose. So in case they have these questions, they don't know. It's usually they just do it randomly, yeah, or which weapon kid can like. Yeah, so I think if I give you to people, you people who can listen to this podcast, some information is gonna be useful in case of starting fencing trainings. Alright, so the first kind of weapon I'm gonna review is a foil. I was doing foil personally for more than 15 years, and now I'm also coach foil fencing together with epi. So the foil is basically the lightest of all three weapons in fencing. It's very light and very, very slim, basically, yeah. So it's very easy to handle from the first time, I think. So when your muscles of your hand and your arm are not very trained, so I think foil is the easiest weapon to handle, right? So, and origins of foil basically is Middle Ages. So in Middle Ages, foil been used to learn fencing, right? So it was learning weapon for practicing. So that was not real fighting weapon. That is just to train your technique, train your movements. And then usually people were taking epi, right, and they were fighting in epi. So foil, it was basically the prototype for training, but nevertheless it is not some stage to change to epi or something. In these modern times, foil is different kind of weapon, and the same as epi and saber. It's like you can win the same amount of medals in future, and even in Olympic Games, there are all three weapons, they are equal basically by the how people treat them, right? So, in generally, I think the reason, I mean, that is why it was learning weapon. That is why that was very difficult rule for that, right? So, the goals of learning offense, and it was learn good technique before you go to fight. So that is why foil fencing requires a lot of good technique to success. So it requires a lot of things. You need to understand the game of fencing, and you need to make your moves almost perfect to be good, right? So the first thing about foil fencing is the valid target is very small. It's basically just the torso. It's your back. It's your chest. And more than 10 years, like about 10 years ago, by the rules, the FIE, International Fencing Federation, they added the bib on the mask. So it's also a valid target in foil. But it doesn't make much difference, right? So you can consider the bib of the mask, it's also kind of chest, right? So anyway, so it's requiring like more accuracy than probably in epee and saber. So and good point control. So in a foil, you just need to stick the point to the valid target to score the point. So that's it. And the second thing which makes foil fencing rules harder to understand, it's a rule which we call right-of-way rule. So in generally, it says the attacker has priority to score the point and defender has to parry first before scoring, right? So in case both fencers hit at the same time, only one of them scores a point. Either successful attacker or defender who did parry and then he hit with so-called riposte. So defender has to do parry riposte. So basically it's French phrase which we can translate to English as defense and answer, right? Answering attack. So parry riposte is defense and answering attack. So of course if only one fencer hits at the time and another for example missed, it doesn't matter who was attacker or who was defender. So some people who doesn't like this right-of-way rule, they just trying to hit faster with one single light. So when you hit your opponent, you kind of switch the light on your side and basically referee can see you scored. But in generally, in high level of foil fencers, you should understand the right-of-way rule because it's pretty difficult to win the match if you don't understand it. So that's why foil requires a lot of understanding of the priority rules, of right-of-way rules, of everything. So basically in foil fencing, fencers has two basic ways to score the point. Either you go to attack and score, or you try to defend yourself and perform the parry riposte. Two basic ways. But of course, there is a third way, which I already told you. So you can kind of combine both ways, attack and defense at the same time. Is in generally wrong, right? And many fencers say it's wrong, but it still exists and it's very common, I think. It's a so-called counterattack, right? So basically you are not caring, you don't care what your opponent does or he goes to attack. Okay, you can go to attack, but I just counterattack you and then I just try to avoid the hit. Yeah, so in this case, if attacker missed, everything is for nothing, right? And counterattacker scores a point. So this is a third way, counterattack. So attack defense or counterattack. That's the three ways. So you have to choose what you like. So you need to make the right decision at the right time, depending on your opponent and depending on the situation on the pist during the match. So that is why foil is basically very hard kind of weapon regarding the rules. But if you understand the rules, it's getting pretty easy. So it's kind of more diverse actions. So you can be defender, attacker, or counter-attacker as well. So it's more also mental game. So that's features of foil fencing. All right. So weapon number two, it's epi. Basically, epi is the heaviest kind of weapon in fencing, but with the easiest rules to understand, which makes it kind of the opposite kind of weapon to foil regarding to rules. But on the other hand, it's also very similar. Even if the much heavier, epi is much heavier, it's pretty similar because you need to hit only with your point, but entire body is a target and you can score the point with every hit, right? So you just need to make hit, correct hit, you need to stick the point to opponent's target, his entire body, you can hit to arm, to leg, to body, to mask, everywhere you can score the point. Just one thing you have to make sure is you are hitting faster than your opponent, right? So if you hit faster than your opponent, it's gonna be only your light on the fencing machine, and of course only you is gonna be the person who scores the point. But in case your opponent hit you faster, you have to do something better, of course. But sometimes happens when both fencers hit at the same time. In this case, you both score the point, which is also quite interesting. So there is no right of way rule in epi fencing. And because scoring the point is easier than in foil, epi fencers are usually more careful and more patient. So to score the point in epi, you will need stealthy approach to your opponent, so you can cut the distance enough to perform the final action, for example lunge or just step forward, so you can perform the final action and attack him, right? So if you come close enough and opponent doesn't notice, you can make very successful attack. But you also can catch your opponent off balance. For example, if your opponent trying to prepare his own attack, so you can hit on preparation, you can hit on your opponent's step forward. If your opponent wasn't very careful, it's also possible. That's why all the movement in epi is very careful, and many epi fencers, they like to maneuver back and forth on the long distance, because since you come to middle distance or short distance, the hit is going to be performed so fast, so it's very dangerous. So it's also about your precision, about your patience, and how you can overwit your opponent on the fencing pist. Okay, and weapon number three is saber, the last Olympic fencing kind of weapon. Saber is the only weapon where you can score the point with cut as well as hit. So saber came to modern times from Middle Ages, right? So in Middle Ages there was cavalry forces, the fighters who were fighting on the horses, right? So in order to protect the horse, the target area in saber was the upper body, right? Because if you try to hit the legs, for example, you can injure the horse, and of course nobody wanted to hurt the horse, even if it's horse of your opponent, right? Horse is not your enemy is your opponent. So it is now in modern times, The target in saber fencing is also upper body. So the in case of scoring the point, you just need basically touch your opponent's upper body, right? Not cut, right? It's, you don't need to make any force. You don't need to hurt your opponent. You just need to basically touch your opponent with your blade. And that's how you can turn the lights, your lights on, right? And referee gonna give you a point. So basically it's very easy to hit your opponent, right? So you just need to touch. You don't need to control your point so much. Usually hits happen in saber very often and very fast. There is not many maneuvering, right? Not many maneuvering. There are people, or either people go to attack or they go to defense. So usually after referee says en garde, ready and fence, hit is going to be happening about 5 seconds, no more, I think. 5-10 seconds at most, right? So, but in general it's few seconds and that's all. That's why saber fencing is basically the fastest one out of three weapons. But nevertheless, you still need to follow the right of way rule, where attacker scores a point. So in case you and your opponent hit at the same time, in this case referee decides who's got right of way. So who was attacker, or maybe who took parry post, right? Or whose attack wasn't so good, right? So sometimes you go to attack and you stop in the middle of attack, and basically you can think your attack is still on, but it's already finished, and another person gets right of way. So referee decides all of this, and referee can make decision who scores the point. So anyway, yeah, it's the fastest fencing saber, and it's very fast footwork and very beautiful blade work, I think, because also parries in saber fencing much different than in epi parries or foil parries, because you basically need to protect your body from the cut. So you need to make parry wider than if you need to protect from the hit, right, from the thrust. So that's it. So it's a little bit different. It looks differently, and it's much faster. So if you are a fast person, and if you like fast actions, and you have good speed qualities, you can try out saber, and hopefully you're gonna enjoy it. But in generally, all three weapons are beautiful, and this is a great game, yeah. There are a lot of similarities, but a lot of differences as well, and I already said about them, and I tried to describe in a short way, not using many smart words, right? So you can try out, and of course, if you are young, if your child is young, of course, you can try to change in future, yes? So if you started from one kind of weapon, if you think it's not, it doesn't suit you, so you can try to fence with another one. But remember, you need to select it as soon as possible. Otherwise, you're gonna waste your time with one weapon, yeah? And you still need to get used to another one in future. So if you do one weapon long time and you're gonna change it, basically, you need to start many things from the beginning. And this is sometimes can be difficult as well. Alright, so we are coming to the finish of this episode, and if you have any questions, you can send me a message anytime, any time of the week, any time of the day, and ask me some questions, and it's time to say bye-bye and have a nice day. You were listening to Incredible Fencing Podcast. For more information, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, visit my Instagram page or website.